The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is a selection from the book of Proverbs, starting with Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us. It's really good to be with you this morning as we continue our look through the book of Proverbs. I think probably at some level we can all relate to the instance of putting our foot in our mouth. Like that moment where you look back on a conversation and you wonder, why did I say that? I have more of those than I care to admit. But one that comes to mind is early in our marriage, just weeks after we had gotten married, we had this bathroom catastrophe. So I don't know if you've ever been in a bathroom with a plunger in about 4 inches of toilet water, but it is not a great experience. It's just not. And it makes it worse when you have a plunger that is absolute trash. I mean, this thing was doing no work whatsoever. You know, the thing's bending up and it's just not working. It's horrible. We finally got it fixed, and you know, there was a lot of unholiness in that bathroom from me. But a few weeks later, we had dinner with some family friends, and they were older. They wanted to have us over, hear about early married life, like what's it been like? What have you learned that you didn't know about your spouse? Like what's been going on? What's something that was surprising? Whatever it might be. And we came to the moment where I thought it was a good idea to share the bathroom catastrophe story. And so I'm just sharing the story, because at this point, like, we're several weeks removed. It's a little more comical. Flip-flops, 4 inches of bathroom water, that wasn't funny. But a few weeks later, you know, I found some humor in it. And so sharing that story, just going on about just how horrible the experience was. And this, I mean, it just, the toilet just kept overflowing. Like, it would not stop. And I had this horrible plunger that did no work whatsoever. Water keeps coming. It's starting to go out into the hall. It was, you know, we got this plunger. It was a gift that was given to us at our wedding. And, you know, surely some kind-hearted people. But it just didn't work. It wasn't doing the job. And Carrie's like, Jason, no, that wasn't the plunger that somebody got us. That was the plunger we bought. That was one that we bought. No. Carrie, remember, like it came in that big hamper that had all of those practical gifts that somebody farther down the road thought, here are young, dumb people. They don't know what they need. So we're going to give them all this stuff that's going to be real helpful, real practical, real useful. Remember, it was in that giant laundry hamper. And she's like, no, that's the one. And we just went back and forth for a bit. Well, we get into the car, and Carrie asks, why could you not drop the thing about the plunger? It's like, because it was horrible. She's, Jason, they gave us that gift. We can all relate. I hope I'm not the only one who can relate to moments of putting your foot in your mouth. You know, I was young and immature, needed to grow in some maturity, some social awareness. It sure doesn't hurt to have a spouse who, over the years, I know the look. I can get a look, and she helps remind me to, like, just whatever's coming out right now, just stop. Or when we're near one another, it's the hand on the arm. The hand on the arm means, Jason, stop it. Like, whatever's happening right now, stop. We can all relate to moments of kind of putting our foot in our mouth. They're embarrassing. They're silly. And, you know, we look back on them, and we can laugh, hopefully. But we also know that our words can be powerful, and we can have devastating effects with the careless use of words. Like, our words are so powerful that they can build people up or they can tear them down. And we know that experience. We know what that feels like. And so each of us needs to take steps to grow in wisdom. We need to become the kinds of people who are giving life with our words, not bringing death. We need to grow and be trained to stop using careless words, that we might use wise words. That we might not live from a critical spirit, but might live from a life-giving spirit. That our hearts might be changed in such a way that instead of bringing death, instead of tearing down, we might actually be able to build up and bring life. Your words can bring life or death, and so we need to choose wisely. And so let's consider the power of our words. Proverbs 18, once again, verses 20 and 21. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We have the power in our words to bring death or to bring life. To bring death, we see this elsewhere in the Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Or Proverbs 12, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We have this old, now I hopefully ancient saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And yet each of us knows instinctually that that couldn't be further from the truth. Words can have a devastating effect on our lives. Sixth grade year, I'm in middle school in the land of milk and honey known as West Plains, Missouri. And the middle school is on the hill, the high school is down the hill, and in between is the music building, band and choir. And every other day, I have to trek down the hill to the choir building for class. And coming up is Robert Winkler. And Robert and I got into a fight every time for about 4 weeks straight. Every time. And I'm not talking like verbal, like I'm talking we fought. Punches. I don't know why. I don't know why he didn't like me. I didn't like him because he didn't like me. But we got into a fight. But I don't remember a time of feeling hurt. Like, I know I didn't hurt him. He didn't hurt me. But each of us can remember moments in conversation where words have devastated us. We're brought back. We're like teleported back to that moment when those painful experiences are spoken. I don't want to be with you any longer. Your mom and your dad, we're getting a divorce. I want a divorce. You didn't make the team. You didn't get into that school. We're not going to take you for this job. That friend who says, I no longer want to be friends with you. We know that words can have a tremendous impact on our lives. They can bring death and tear down, but they can also have a power to give life. The fruit of a man's mouth is his stomach, and satisfied, he is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are the power of the tongue. Death and life are the power of the tongue. There's a power to give life with our words. Again, Proverbs 10. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, just overflowing with life in those words. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There is power in our words to bring death or to bring life. And the invitation to us is to become the kinds of people with life-giving words. And we know those experiences too. When someone takes a step toward you to let you know that they believe in you and they want to give you a chance. You know what those kinds of words mean and how they land upon your heart. You feel seen, understood, heard. Your words can bring life or death, and so we need to choose wisely. So we need to become, secondly, the kinds of people who are filled with life-giving words. And if we're going to be filled with life-giving words, it begins in the heart. That's what Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are the grapes picked up from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Our words reveal something of what's going on within. It reveals our heart. So maybe the question is, what have your words this week revealed about your heart? Have your words come from a critical spirit or a place of encouragement? Our world is full of words of death. We see it all around us. We experience it everywhere. And because of that, we need to take care of our minds and our hearts. We need to think about what we're taking into our minds, what we're allowing to rest upon our hearts. We are discipled daily by the world around us. A good friend of mine says that the moment we come out of the womb, we are being discipled by this world. Formation is a human experience. We are being formed into someone. That is a non-negotiable. It is happening. And so we need to take care of what we bring into our minds and our hearts. We need to think about the kind of entertainment that we're consuming. We need to think about how we're utilizing social media and the voices that we're listening to. We need to think about the old school media that we're consuming and what it's doing to our hearts. We need to think about our peers and our friends that we spend time with. How are they influencing and shaping our hearts? You see, we need to be trained to become the kinds of people who are a fountain of life. You're not going to stumble upon that. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to come as our hearts are being shaped and molded by Jesus himself. And so we need to think about the process of formation. And here's where a very interesting thing happens. If we bring Proverbs 18 and Luke chapter 6 together, we see this interesting picture. Luke 6 tells us, Jesus tells us, that words come from deep within us. Out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to understand that what we say, the kinds of words that come out of our mouth, they show something about who we are. And so what is it that's shaping us deep within? But then there's this interesting picture in Proverbs 18. The fruit of a man's mouth, From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. There's something about our words that satisfy our appetites, our desires. And so do you see the cyclical process here? Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. It reveals something of what's going on inside of you. And as you speak, you're satisfied by those words. Your appetites are made content. And this can be positive or negative. Out of the overflow of a critical spirit, our words speak those cutting words. And we are satisfied. You know that moment when you make that comment and you feel good about the way you put them in their place. You've been satisfied. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And when your mouth speaks, your heart is satisfied. And so we must take care and concern about our formation. That we could be shaped and molded into people who have life-giving words. Your words bring life or death, and so you need to choose wisely. And so what might it look like for us to become a life-giving presence with our words? We don't want to be people who are bringing death with our words. We want to be people who are giving life. And so we need to be concerned and avoid the careless use of words. Again, Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash, careless words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We don't want to be people who are just speaking flippantly and off the cuff in kinds of ways that are hurtful and harmful. When you lose patience, what comes out of your mouth? We need to be mindful and careful with our words. When you find yourself growing angry, what words come out of your mouth? We want to be people who are careful, mindful of our words. All of our words matter. That's what we have to understand. They can bring life or they can bring death. And so we want to be people who are growing to be careful with our words that they might be life-giving. And so we should be people who are striving to use words to build up and give life. Proverbs 10 again, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. We want to be those kinds of fountains who are giving life with everything that comes out of our mouths. And so what might that look like? We need to become the kinds of people who are encouragers. Like, this is what I know for sure. I don't know your story in detail, but I know this for certain. Nobody came through those doors overly encouraged this week. It's not possible in the world that we live in, this broken, fallen place. Nobody walked through those doors overly encouraged. We could become the kinds of people who are encouraging others through our life-giving words, who are helping others grow up in Christ in ways that are for their flourishing. And so we need to be people who encourage sincerely. We don't want to be people who are just known for giving words of flattery. You know that person in your life. Where these words, they feel empty because they're not sincere. So instead of being people who give words of flattery with insincerity, which actually can push people away, even as the Proverbs tell us, 26:28, a lying tongue hates its victim and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery can have the opposite intended effect and actually drive people away. Because people pick up on the insincerity. I think if anything's true of the cultural moment we're in, it is that. People around you will sniff out insincerity in a second. So let's become people who are encouraging others sincerely. But not just sincerely, let's become people who are encouraging others specifically. I mean, think of it. A specific word of encouragement is so much more powerful in your life and mine than just some vague word of encouragement. Great job this week. I'm not real sure with what, like, I'm alive, I breathed all week, like, I don't know. What am I, like, good job at what? Attaboy. Like, but instead, what if we were to become people who were specific in our encouragement? Thank you for this past week. That thing that you did, it brought such encouragement to my heart. Like, let's think of encouraging sincerely, but also specifically. And so maybe one of the things that we need to do is have a moment of self-assessment. Like, think about some of your conversations that come to mind from this past week. What kind of words did you have for others? Were they life-giving words? Were they words from a critical spirit? Were they whiny words? Were they arrogant words? Proud words? What kind of words exemplify the conversations you've had in the last week? Maybe we need to start there. On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 is I was over the top encourager this past week in these conversations. To 1, I was just a horrible human being. Maybe that's 0. That's 0. That sounds -1. Where am I on that scale? As I soberly reflect upon the kinds of words that I use this week, what might it look like for us starting today to begin taking some steps to practice becoming an encourager? You see, this is why it matters, because what comes out of your mouth reveals something of your heart, and what comes out of your mouth fuels your heart. And so if I want to become a person who uses words to encourage others, to give life to others, then I need to speak encouraging, life-giving words. So that over time, my heart can be changed to look more and more like Jesus. And so how could you take some time this week to practice giving sincere, specific encouragement? Men, I want to say something specifically for you and me. You have the power to bring life with your words. In your home, with your children, in your workplace, with your friends. There is something about your words that's powerful. You can build up with those words, or you can tear down. There is great power in your words, men. And so what might it look like for us to become the kinds of men who are encouraging others, that they might be built up in Jesus, that they might hear life-giving words from your mouth and mine? How might that bring an encouragement to them in some specific kinds of ways this week? Just think on that for a little bit. Your words can bring life or death, and so we need to choose wisely. And so if we're going to be formed into people who bring life with our words, we need to look to Jesus in the gospel. We need to remember that we have all fallen short in our words. We've all been careless. Think of it. We can be careless in giving a cutting word. We can also be careless by not giving anything sincere or specific. We've all found ourselves in that spot. None of us have arrived. But the good news of Jesus is that the gospel word is life-giving. And so we can look to Christ to find forgiveness for all of those failures, all of those faults. We can turn from that way of life and embrace Jesus by faith, trusting him at his word, looking to him to change and to transform us from the inside out, so that we could become people who aren't described or characterized by a critical negative spirit, but people who are characterized by a life-giving spirit. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what I want. We want to be people, when we walk into the room, people are glad that we're there because they know that you're a life-giving presence. They want to be around you because they know that they're going to find encouragement. They know that they're going to be built up and not torn down. And so we can look to Jesus, give your life over to Christ, trust him at his word, that we could be shaped and transformed by him. That we might be able to rest in God's life-giving word, his word of blessing. If you're in Jesus, then you are God's beloved, his treasured possession, the one in whom he loves. And you can rest in that so that you could be changed and transformed from the inside out to look more like him. And we need to pursue that endeavor together as a community. Life-giving words require one another. We need to serve one another, to encourage one another, to help one another grow. I need brothers in my life who can help me see when I'm being critical, negative. We need people in our lives who can help us see those words are words of gossip. Those need to be put away. It does no one any good whatsoever. And the heart that craves that gossipy, juicy nugget, it needs to be undone. We need one another to do that work because on my own, I go my way. And so God has given us his church that by the work of the Spirit in us, we could help one another grow up in Jesus so that we could become a countercultural people on mission. We live in a world that is completely discouraged. There's no one that you are going to encounter this week who has found too much encouragement for their life. And if we can authentically follow after Jesus and extend the life-giving word of the gospel, it could change men and women's lives. And so we need to think about our public witness as a people and as a church. What does your conversation look like in the office, in the classroom? What's your social media presence like? What messages are you sending with the content you're posting? What does our public witness say about who we are as a people? And so every week we remind ourselves of the great word of the gospel by taking part in the Lord's Supper. See, you and I need these constant, continual reminders of what God has done for us in Christ. None of us walk through those doors perfect. All of us have faults. All of us, as we thought about conversations this past week, we were stung by regret. All of us find ourselves having fallen short of God's glory. And so we're in desperate need of Jesus. And the good news of the gospel is that God gave us his one and only Son. And Jesus gave up his life so that you and I might find life in him, that we might have our lives changed and transformed from the inside out. And so as we take a moment to reflect soberly on the way that we use our words. If you know Jesus, then the invitation is to come forward and to remind ourselves again that there's forgiveness to be found in his broken body and his shed blood. That God made a way for sinners like you and me, that we could come to know him and be a part of his family. And in all of this, then, we are reminded that our words can bring life or death. And so this week, I need to choose wisely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us by it, that you have encouraged us by your word. You have challenged us by your word. You have rebuked us by our word where we need, because you desire our flourishing. The moment when our conscience has been stung by the reminder of the harmful, careless words we've spoken. That is for our good, because you desire for us to become that life-giving fountain, that by our words we can build one another up. We can bring a word of hope to a world desperately in need of it. And so we pray that in these moments you would remind us of those realities, that we might be changed and transformed from the inside out to look more and more like Jesus day by day. And we pray this in his name. Amen.